Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo.
And Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
We are excited to spend another episode with you. And as a reminder, if you have not headed over to iTunes to leave a rating and review, we sure would appreciate you doing that. It helps other people find this student ministry podcast and the content that you have chosen to listen to. So thanks for doing that. We'd love to hear how we can get better, what you like. This podcast is for you, the student ministry leader. And so thank you for listening. We want to spend a little bit of time today with you talking about something that the students in your ministry are passionate about doing. We see statistics from Generation Z that point to this generation of teenagers wanting to be active, wanting to have a voice, wanting to speak out on issues in our culture. And we all know that there are a plethora of cultural issues that they could speak out on.
Nice.
So there are things going on all the time that your students have an opinion about, yet many of them don't know how to use their voice as an influence, or they might feel anxious about stepping out and speaking into these cultural situations. One of the things that Lifeway students that we talk about all the time that you've probably heard us speak about on the podcast is that we believe that healthy student ministries train students to shape the culture in which they live. And so that's something that student ministries should be doing. So let me give you an example. The Parkland, Florida school shooting that happened a couple months ago. You guys are familiar with that as student ministry leaders. Since that time, we've seen teenagers be given a microphone to speak out about beliefs that they have in regards to the school shooting. Now, let me say right off the bat, whether you agree with the stance that they're taking or not, that's not the topic of this podcast. We're not going to be focusing on gun control and things like that today, okay? But what I want to focus on is the reality that teenagers have been given a platform and a microphone to speak their beliefs. And people are listening to these teenagers.
Yep.
So the one qualifier is, we're not talking about whether you believe what they're saying or not. We're focusing on that they are saying.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and I know there's some talk about, you know, people backing and money being put towards them being given the microphone from organizations and things like that, and that it hasn't been a purely organic teenager-driven moment. So there's some argument about that taking place. That's not what this is about either. What this is about, again, is your students desiring, and teenagers in general in this generation, desiring for their voices to be heard and for them to speak out on cultural issues. And so what we want to spend today talking about is how in your student ministry, how you and other leaders, how you can train other leaders to help students know that they can speak out. So that's the groundwork, along with healthy student ministries train students to shape the culture in which they live. So our friends at Student Leadership University say all the time that leadership is influence. And at the root of it, that's what this is, right? It's training students to be an influence where they are, because not all students are going to be given a microphone. And the reality is that if your students are speaking about Jesus and sharing the gospel in the public square, then they're probably not going to be given a broadcast platform to be able to do that. But we need to be equipping them and helping them understand what issues to speak on and how the gospel influences those issues and how the gospel speaks through those issues. So as we move forward with the reality that leadership is influence, and Matthew chapter 5 would tell us that all believers are meant to have some kind of influence, salt, light, city on a hill, all of the imagery that we see there, those things are meant for all of us as believers. how do we help teenagers? And this is the question I'll throw out to the podcast and something as listeners that I would challenge you to think on even after this episode is over. How can you and how can we as people who influence students help them see that they can be an influence in the culture? Because I think that's the first hurdle, really, is that many of them believe we can't be an influence in our culture. My voice isn't going to be heard. Yeah. What I say doesn't matter. We've been kind of shoved aside and put in this box like we don't care about anything. How can we help them see that they really can be a light, that they can be salt in this earth, and that they can shape the culture in which they live?
Ben, I think a lot of this starts in student ministry programming in your church, giving students the opportunity to speak up in what they know is a safe environment.
Yep.
With people that they trust, with people that are guiding them, leading them, giving them the opportunities to stand up and lead, but the instruction on how to do that well is hugely important. And we've talked about this just as a piece of discipleship, identifying those gifts and letting these students lead out in those gifts.
Yeah.
But even more than that, if we're going to groom students that are ready and willing to step outside of a safe place in leadership into the public square where they're going to be heavily scrutinized, we're going to have to do a good job of raising these students with the right skills.
Yeah.
So some of these students that are standing out there now have not had this opportunity, and they've kind of been thrust into this position of notoriety and given a platform overnight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that is not typically the case.
Right.
And especially when we're talking about Jesus in the public square, mm-hmm. we're going to fight for that position of influence. And so there's a long journey that's going to happen there. We hope it's not terribly long. You know, we would like to see our students really be kind of catapulted into that level of influence as well, but they're not likely going to take that position unless they've had opportunity already to speak.
Yeah, and in the safe environment, like you talked about, like yeah. give them opportunities in the student ministry, inside the church, to be able to speak to some of the things that they're passionate about. I think part of it, too, is this whole idea of breaking down for them, I have to wait till I'm 100% ready before I ever open my mouth.
Right.
That keeps them from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is encouraging them to just start.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have all the answers. And sure, like if you don't have all the answers, then people, you know, you may get hit with some metaphorical stones when you speak up. But to be an influence, at some point, you just have to start being an influence. You right. have to start saying stuff. And that goes back to the training piece that you were talking about.
Well, it's like teaching students evangelism, you know, and hearing students say, well, what if they ask this and what if they ask that? Mm-hmm. It's like there's so many what ifs that we can be paralyzed by.
Yeah.
And it's not until they have those first few experiences of, you know, oh, well, hey, God gave me exactly what I needed in mm-hmm. that moment. You know, that was exactly the person I was supposed to talk to.
Yeah.
Or I didn't know the answer, but it was okay that I didn't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through some of that repetition, they build confidence in standing up in those circumstances.
And I think part of it is for us to steward really well the way that we act and react towards situations that happen. And, you know, and I think social media is very much a big part of how people feel heard these days. And so when we're looking at how this whole thing fleshes itself out, it's like that's what, in a sense, has given people a voice. And so the way that we interact with other people, the way that we respond to what's going on, you know, is are we setting a good godly example for what that ought to look like? Are we just engaging for the sake of engaging? Or are we engaging to try to change something? Are we engaging to try to make a difference and to try to be? Yeah, and I think too the model we can look at is how Jesus responded. He responded to people with a lot of questions. You know, throughout the new, you know, the Gospels and the early New Testament, he asked a lot of questions to try to figure out exactly what was going on. And so often we react first before we ask a question, and we respond first before we think about where maybe it came from. And I'll be the first to say, like, sometimes I am a quick reactor when something happens. Like, I immediately assume what's going on, and rather than trying to find some answers first. And I think students can learn a lot from watching us take a minute to let some things sink in. And yes, there are things we need to give some immediate action to, but then there's other things that we would be wise to take a pause and to take a deep breath and to ask some questions before we dive straight in to something that maybe we don't have all the facts about. And so I think they're watching us to try to figure out how we're navigating these conversations. And I think the other part of it too is that, you know, so many would say now, especially I think among, you know, people that we're engaging with or watching or listening to, would say to not say, you know, to stay silent on social media is to be in agreement or disagreement, or it's to not say, you know, it. And so often now it's like, it's not even our voice. It's not even our little voices. It's the things we're typing on our computer, on our phones that are, the other people are gauging where we stand or if we stand or if we don't stand. And it's just gotten muddy. It's gotten complicated.
Yeah, I agree. We were talking before the podcast about a recent Christianity Today article where the writer of this article was just making the point that unless notable figures make a statement on social media, then they're not making a statement.
Yeah.
Like he almost equated to, in our world of social media mm-hmm. today, you have, like, taking a real stand is when you put it out on social media, yep. which is a dangerous.
Yeah.
I see where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. And so people are waiting for, oh, I wonder what X person is going to say on social media about yeah. this as their platform. And that's a dangerous thing, I think, to teach teenagers, is that you haven't said anything unless you say it on social media.
Yeah.
The relational component of influence, mm-hmm. I think, is being lost in our culture today.
Yeah.
And so as you think about training students to have influence where they are, it's through relationships and it's through that listening component that you talked about. Listen, for far too long, at least for the convention that we are most closely tied to in Southern Baptist world, a justifiable criticism could be that we've been known more for what we speak out against than yeah. what we've listened to.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And that's something that we're not proud of. It's something that should change, especially in our culture now.
Yeah.
We need to be a lot better at listening. And I think it's a great point that you bring out, and it's something that student pastors, you need to be aware of in teaching your students and even modeling for your students mm-hmm. what good listening on these ideas look like, because you earn the right to have a conversation with someone that may have a different viewpoint than you by listening, not by having the most sound, airtight argument that you could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think often we earn the right to speak when we find the places we can agree.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So that is, you know, when you hear somebody just kind of come out and lambast somebody, you hear this incredibly angry, you know, like edgy, arrogant kind of tone often.
Yeah.
But when you find somebody, and I think of, so right now I've been reading everything I can get my hands on G.K. Chesterton. And so he has a book, Heretics, where he just lines out all of these different men, these different beliefs that have been put in front of culture in that day.
He names names.
And he argues against them. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the thing he does first is he finds a point of agreement with exactly what he is about to call a heresy. So he calls it out, and he calls it out in a pretty hard way and makes a sound argument against it. But he first points out, hey, this piece is true. This is just where I believe Christianity takes this, and this is where I think this person has taken this, or this belief system has taken this, that perverts this truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the foundational piece that you have to acknowledge and mention at the beginning of this conversation is to say that if we're not equipping students with truth, and if we're not teaching truth, and that they know how to navigate God's word and find answers and ask hard questions, then these conversations don't need to, like, then they're not prepared, you know, to have these kind of conversations. And so, like, we, you know, while we are not the ultimate responsibility for their depth of knowledge, we have an incredible opportunity right before us to teach and to, you know, to give opportunity for them to learn and dig in and ask, you know, in a really safe place before they graduate high school and get out into the world and have a much bigger, wider platform in a sense. And, you know, for so many of those, you know, it ends up, you know, how they speak out on a campus or where they are, they're, you know, among thousands of other students. And right now, while they're among the hundreds, you know, while they're among the tens, you know, why don't we, you know, are we truly equipping them with knowledge and worldview and perspective and, you know, deep biblical knowledge? Like, are they exposed to that? Do they know that, to be able to not just stand on good ideas, but to stand on the truth of God's word?
Yeah, that goes back to, you know, one of our foundational statements is this: healthy student ministries equipped students to shape the culture in which they live.
Yep.
And they're not going to be able to do that Mm-mm. unless the foundation of truth is there. If you really take that seriously in your approach to student ministry, then that greatly impacts the way that you teach
Yep.
and the types of things that you teach and the experiences and environments that you plan for your teenagers to have, because all of those things then point back to this foundation of truth.
Yeah.
And I would put another layer on top of that. In teaching God's word, I firmly believe that teaching God's word and exposing a teenager to God's word at every corner will result in them learning how to obey God more and worship him more, mm-hmm. and the lifestyle stuff kind of follows behind exposing them to God's word. You still have to talk about the lifestyle stuff, mm-hmm. but always through the filter of what the truth is and what the gospel says to us. Having said that, your teenagers need you to connect the dots of truth to issues that they're hearing and experiencing in culture.
Yeah. That's right.
They need you to say, okay, there's this Me Too movement happening right now, and there's this school shooting environment, and there's this talk of racism, and there are racial tensions and issues that are clearly still happening in our country. Here's how the gospel speaks to those issues. Take school shootings, for example. Our world is broken because of sin, and people do horrible, heinous things, but there's hope in Jesus. Mm-hmm. One day there's going to be restoration. Redemption is possible in that moment. Like, those are things that you need to connect the dots for in culture with your students. So just saying, hey, as much as I believe that the Bible is enough, and it is, you need to, because of the developmental stages of your teenagers, you need to help them see how the Bible and how the gospel influences how they in turn influence in the public square.
And there are sources that you can go to help you do that. And that's something that I wish I had been encouraged to do as a teenager, would have been to seek out guys like Al Mohler. You know, you can go to almohler.com, and he is every day going to have a briefing episode. It's about 25 minutes long. It's going to be whatever is going on in current headlines, and it will be his take using scripture, Christian worldview on, you know, what he thinks about these world issues and how we should respond at the church. And there are many more voices like his that are doing this on an ongoing basis that you can go to help you filter some of this and to help you kind of solidify what you think. But you can also start sending your students to sources like that to say, hey, it's important that you're mindful of the things that are going on so that you can kind of exercise this muscle of reasoning that you've been given a brain to do. We're not supposed to just, you know, take the truth that we have and jam it in our pocket, as some of us. Maybe you know the reference from what that's from. But we're supposed to do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to reason. Mm-hmm. Our mind has been given to us so that we can come to conclusions.
Yeah.
For the glory of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're to love the Lord with all of our mind. I mean, that's that's one of the things listed that's given to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And man, I think that's a huge thing that you mentioned for us as leaders to be up to date on what's going on in the culture, to teach a student how God's word intersects with movements and statements that are being made in the culture. We as leaders have to be students of the culture.
Absolutely.
We can't do it unless we listen. I know that watching the news or finding the sites and going to, whether it's Al Mohler or the Axis organization or Focus on the, whatever, it would probably be good to have several different Christian cultural as well as non-Christian cultural sites and news outlets that you, so you get a well-rounded picture of what's happening. It could be seriously difficult. You can have fatigue with news. Because there's just so much junk that you have to wade through. There's so much political rhetoric. There's all that stuff that you have to wade through to get to what's going on. It can be tiresome. But like, you're called to teach students how to be influencers. And so you have to put the time in to be a student of the culture. We can't just ignore it.
I think the cool thing about that is that it I don't feel like it takes that long listening to voices like that. Before you begin to think that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To think critically, to ask questions. Yeah.
Not that you need to, you know, listen for a few months and then say, I got it. Because, you know, listening to somebody like Ed Stetzer kind of dissect a current event and give his thoughts on it. I mean, I'm pretty much always like, wow, I may not have come to that conclusion on my own.
Yeah.
No matter how much I've exercised my own muscles in that area. There are just some leaders today that are brilliant thinkers and they're worth listening to. But I do think it's true that as you discipline yourself to that for a little while, you begin to get somewhat of a knack for it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think it's, you know, to quote our friends at SLU again, you know, leaders are learners. You know, that's something that they talk about so often, is that to be a leader, you've got to be a lifelong learner and you've got to continue to ask questions and dive deeply and to, you know, and I think for so many of us, it's really easy to go, oh gosh, I hate to read. The last time I read a book was in college. Like, I just don't do that anymore. And like, or just to say that that's something that we don't like to do, but like that just becomes an excuse really fast. And, you know, and I think too, you know, it's in it not to like everything. I feel like right now in culture, you could go like, well, think about how much time you spend on Netflix. And like, that's true. Like last night I was watching ER before I went to bed. But like, I think to say we do have time in our schedules to do the things that we want to do, to grow in the ways we want to grow, to learn new things, to experience things. And so we've got to give ourselves some really good solid handholds. But also too, I think you were wise to say, like, or one of y'all was wise to say that, you know, we've got to also listen to what the world is listening to too, and not like to, I think, be very well versed in the things, you know, of the Lord and the people who are speaking out on that, but also go, what are people who are not believers reading? You know, what are people who don't know Jesus exposing themselves to? What kind of truths are they finding in these online sources or books or things, so that we also know what's going on there? And, you know, for me, one of the things that I read on a daily basis that is, you know, on the Christian lines of things is Dennison Forum, you know, Jim Dennison. I get an email every morning with that addresses a current cultural issue from like today, this week, yesterday. Like, it's very immediate. And for me, I read that while I'm getting ready in the morning. And so it just, you know, is part of my routine to go, okay, like, here are the things that are going on in the world. Here are the things that I need to be aware of in a conversation I may step into today, or just to be more knowledgeable, because I don't love to just sit down and watch the news anymore, because it's A, it's depressing, and B, our local news in Nashville is terrible. And so if anybody from Nashville local news is listening, I'm sorry, but like, it's just pretty bad. bad. And so, you know, I just don't really like to watch. And so I have to find other ways to find out what the news is. You know, but that's one for me. But I think there's a ton of resources at our fingertips to be able to learn and engage and ask hard questions so that, you know, because there are some students who are paying more attention to this kind of stuff than we are.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And so here's a question and challenge that I would kind of make as we close out this episode is, when was the last time you as a student ministry leader sat down with a group of students and asked them what they think about issues that are going on in the culture right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
I bet that you would probably be surprised mm-hmm. what your students think about the racism that we're seeing, what their opinions are on abuse and Me Too movement and those kinds of things, and what their opinions are on school shootings and how those problems are solved. And so part of this for you might be learning where your students are in the spectrum of thinking before you even start to help them see through the gospel filter,
yep.
finding out where the starting point is, because they have opinions right now. But seldom yeah. do we just sit down, do like a mini student ministry town hall that's like really organized and helpful, where you take the approach of learner, but from your students
yeah.
and beginning to see through their eyes, so that when you go back to the lab and you prepare how to help them influence in the culture,
mm-hmm.
you know where they're beginning
yeah.
and you can help them begin to see through the gospel lens.
Yeah. And most likely too, there are leaders, some of your small group leaders, adults that are in your ministry, are people who are real students of this kind of stuff. And there's a lot you could do by just sitting down and having a conversation with one of them to learn, you know, from somebody who really may be an expert in some mm-hmm. some of this kind of stuff, but to have somebody in your life that you can ask questions to, who is looking at things with a discerning eye, is critical.
Yeah. And with that, we'll bring this episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry podcast to a close. Your students have a desire to influence. They have a longing to speak into the cultural issues of their day. They want to be active. They want to have a voice. And you can help them do that. And the great hope in this is that the gospel does already speak to all of the issues of our mm-hmm. day. We've mentioned a few, but it speaks to all of them, and you have that. You have God's word that you can equip students with, and they can shape the culture in which they live, even at the age that they are in. The students in your student ministry can be an influence, and you have all the tools at your fingertips to help them be that light, that desperately needed light to this world. So there's hope in this conversation. There's hope for you. There's hope for your students, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.